Double Game Week 34 is finally here. Six teams play twice, but whose single fixtures are nice? Is this the week to play a chip? Plus, we help an ex-England goalkeeper save his FPL team. Hello, well done if you survived one of the busiest weeks of the season. Three FPL deadlines in just 8 days, the next of which is creeping up for a huge double game week 34. So let's dive in. Sam Bonfield, game week 33 has just finished. You were at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and you look a lot happier than you did on Monday.
I feel so much better about my life this morning than I did on Sunday. Much, much better from Spurs and a much, much better performance from my FPL team as well. Nice green arrow. And actually, Harry Kane proving to be a massive differential because a lot of people who wildcarded last week going into game week 33, Kelly's looking horrified, sold Harry Kane. And so now he was owned by like 40% of managers around me. So those two assists and three bonus points last night, I was not only a happy Spurs fan, but a happy FPL manager. Although I must admit, Kelly, one thing I should admit to right now, I benched Tyrone Mings for his 15-point haul.
I saw that.
Yeah. Gosh, that really, really stung.
Honestly, it won't have stung as much as my wild card. Getting a red arrow on a wild card is bad, but I was at an awards ceremony on Thursday night and I was just getting the notifications through. And when Man United were 2-0 up, I was like, wonderful. Rashford returns. I'd got Lindelof. I went for Lindelof over Shaw due to funds. And then, well, we saw what happened. When those notifications were coming through, it just felt like, well, if you sell Harry Kane, what do you expect? Anyway, Jules, I know you'll be relishing in my downfall. How was your game week?
It was decent, 60 points, so not too far from Sam. Harry, who we had in last week's show, got 65, for example, so I'm not too bad. I didn't play my wild card and I still beat you, so, you know, it was overall...
I did get 58, it was 2 points different.
I still beat you. I mean, even when you beat me by 1 point, you're like rubbing it in, so... It was good. I've got 24 points on my bench, which I know it happened to... every manager in the game, of course. Kelly, you've had it a few times this season as well. It's really hard to take when you just made the decision. I put Bueno on the bench because I didn't think he would play. And then he was outstanding. I got the wrong keeper. I thought Johnstone was going to have a good game. And still, stepped the penalty and got 10 points and Johnstone 0. So yeah, all those little decisions sometimes go against you. Sometimes they go for you. But yeah, 24 points on the bench, it's a bit hard to take.
Cool. I felt bad about my 5 points on the bench. At least you two made me feel better about your benching points. Well, let's crack on anyway and welcome our guest this week. He ignored my text at first this season to come on, but he apologised to me in a media centre in Qatar. So all is forgiven. And finally, 4 months after the apology, former England goalkeeper Rob Green is making his pod debut, mainly because he's had to work with me a few times since. And I've been hounding him. Rob, thank you for finally gracing us with your presence on the pod.
Thank you for your persistence, Kelly. Yes, and I'm a lot more agreeable in person than I am over the phone. So here I am. But yeah, thank you, guys.
No, I'm only winding you up. We're really glad to have you on. And we were excited when we realised you played FPL. Myself and Jules are in a separate league with you, and we know you do play. I think you might have lapsed a bit recently, but tell us when you got into FPL, how long you've been playing it.
Not long. I did it with my mates in the pub for a few years and never fully got to grips with the whole... I'm not a details person in that regard. I just think I'll go with players that, you know, I like the look of, guys that I think, you know, I stick well with. I seem to completely bypass teams completely, and he just doesn't even enter my brain. So like Brentford this season, I've not picked a Brentford player. Why? They've scored goals, they've been creative, and you just think, how has this whole team not... is just completely bypassed my brain? So yeah, recent weeks, I had a rough week a couple of weeks ago where Man City weren't playing. It cost me a lot of money a lot of points to pull out Haaland out the team, and it didn't work. And from that point on, I got a bit disheartened by it. I brought Kepa back in, a little bit biased, bring my mate back into the team. He's back, he's playing well. And since then, Chelsea have fallen apart. And it's just... it's been quite dispiriting for me in recent weeks. I did have Kane and Son in the side. I think they were my saving grace for the week because they scored more points than the whole of the rest of the team put together.
You say there about not having any Brentford players. You're a former goalkeeper. That's your area of expertise. The top scoring goalkeeper in the game is David Raya at Brentford this season. So you really have missed the boat there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this goes to show. I did have Nick Pope. You know, and then Newcastle didn't have
okay.
him. I pulled him out and I thought that they were going to have a little bit of a dip, Newcastle, and they're back and they're flying. And, you know, they're happy. I'm not. So well done, Newcastle.
Well, Sam actually loves it when we have ex-players on the pod because it does give her a chance to do a deep dive into the stats, into the history books, and see just how you got on when you were a player in FPL and how useful you were. So Sam, what have you found? Was Rob a good FPL asset for us managers?
Yeah, I've been back. I dug out my trusty spreadsheet again, like I did when we had Ben Foster on a couple of weeks ago, and had a look at what Rob was doing for us as FPL managers back when he was playing. So 266 Premier League games, 53 clean sheets. That's a lot of FPL points coming out of those 53 clean sheets. He also made 795 saves. So again, you're getting a lot of save points when Rob was in goal. 9 penalty saves. The other thing that was really interesting is I had a look at how likely he was to pick up bonus points, because obviously with number of clean sheets and some penalty saves in there, it's all those underlying BPS stuff that are likely to happen. So he made 4,918 passes, averaging 18.49 per match. So that's going to contribute quite well to the bonus points. Plus he had 1,514 accurate long balls. Again, that's contributing really nicely to your bonus points. So actually,
even Rob is surprised by that accuracy.
Like, yes.
Sam, how have you had time to go to Spurs this week when you've been doing all this research?
I was in the South Stand last night just looking up with my trusty FPL spreadsheet, what was Rob Green like as an FPL asset? So actually, when you think about it, like that many clean sheets, nice save returns, plus a good route to bonus points, that's exactly what you want from a goalkeeper.
Rob, you even looked pretty impressed there. That sounds like we dragged out a few stats you didn't know about.
Shocked. Firstly, I thought I was playing before the FPL, the fantasy league existed. So I'm not
You're
sure
not
how
old.
That worked. Well, you know, it's been a long time. But then there was one season, I had it sent through to me in a message the other day, and it said, and he said, did you know this stat? And it was that in one season, and I can't remember what season it was, was the record number of saves in a Premier League season by one goalkeeper. So that means that undoubtedly we would have been relegated that season. I don't know whether that means... I don't know whether that counteracts against the sort of points gain that I would have let quite a lot in. But there was, I think, a couple of seasons where, yeah, I'm still feeling them now. Still feeling them in my joints. It was some seasons were hard work.
Okay, well, it is time for us to have a quick reflection on game week 33 then, because there's so much to kind of dissect from what happened and what we can take from that forward when we're planning our teams for 34, because the deadline, we're recording first thing on Friday morning. By the time you guys get this podcast, it'll be less than 24 hours until the deadline. So Sam, what are the key headlines do you think that we need to take away from the midweek action, other than the fact that maybe Spurs aren't quite as poor as we thought?
Spurs are back. That's what we should take. Nothing else. Spurs are back. Get Harry Kane back in. No, in all seriousness, I think the really interesting thing is going to be, and we're going to talk about this quite a lot today, is the difference between the double and the single game weekers. And Newcastle, as Rob mentioned earlier, they seem to be back. And obviously they put, I don't want to refer back to Sunday again, but they put 6 past Spurs. But then we obviously had a good performance from them last night as well. Now, they've only got a single game week, but Isak again is standing out as one of those players that, even though he didn't start, and I know, Kelly, he was the one that you brought in on wildcard and would have been a real frustration last night, but I still think you've done the right thing there. And particularly when, you know, we've got 2 blanks in a row now for Ollie Watkins, who's been the darling of the FPL forward line for such a long time. And we've sat here for weeks and gone, you've got to have Watkins. Single game week coming up. I'm starting to wonder whether now is the time to part ways with Watkins.
I nearly did it on my wild card. I have left in exactly enough money in the bank to upgrade Watkins to Jota, but I thought, I just can't not have him this week at home to Fulham.
Yeah.
He's been in such good form, but I agree. I think that is going to be the move that I'm going to make to part company now with Watkins. Jules, what else did you take away from this game week, other than don't leave good players on your bench?
No, I mean, Manchester City so dominant, of course, against Arsenal.
Oh, sorry,
and I left that one for you, Jules,
okay,
to talk
about.
It's
there's no shame by losing to a team that is much better than you, even if you don't really perform at your level. But it's also the other team that makes you not that makes you underperform. But City were outstanding, really. It makes you think maybe now, because they will have double game weeks two actually between now and the end of the season, about KDB maybe, and trying to somehow break the bank to bring KDB if you don't have him. Defensively, they conceded a goal that I think was easily avoidable because Arsenal were really not good going forward. But still, the form that Haaland, of course, Grealish, you know, all of them, you think now the momentum is going to take them and they're going to bring you a lot of points. So double up, triple up maybe on City players. I liked what we saw from Newcastle. I agree with Sam and Rob before. Villa was solid. Brentford was solid at Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea, what is going on there is crazy, absolutely crazy. And the next game is obviously at the Emirates against Arsenal on Tuesday. So if you have Chelsea players, maybe that's the time to get rid. But yeah, I thought it was quite fascinating midweek action, to be fair.
What about Brighton, Jules? They seem to have fallen apart right at the wrong moment for us as FPL managers. Like,
just as I bought three of them in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're all heavily investing in Brighton because they've got these three doubles coming up. And all of a sudden, it's like they can't keep a clean sheet and they've stopped scoring as many goals. And when they are scoring goals, they're not necessarily coming from the players that we would want. They're not, you know, they're not the Marches and the McAllisters and the Matomas that we've all heavily invested in. So it's difficult with Brighton. I mean, I think, Kelly, you're not doing anything about it because obviously going into the double game week, they play twice. But you kind of have to stick now, but they do seem to be just in a dip.
I think on a psychological level, if you look at it, and I've been there many times, I think this weekend will be a good point for picking players with clubs where they need one more win to pretty much effectively guarantee safety. So you're looking at likes of Wolves, maybe West Ham, and places like that, that you're just going, like, one more push, guys, I think we'll be there. And conversely, you look at the likes of Chelsea, as we touched on there, Fulham, and guys like that who are already in that bracket. And psychologically, I can get, once you hit 40 points, there is something that goes. You hit 40 points and everybody in the dressing room goes, oh, yeah. Well, and
you book your holidays.
Mentally, you book your holidays. And there is no two ways about it that it does happen. Now, you can galvanize it again for the next few weeks, but you're not playing for anything. You're looking at Villa, they're pushing for Europe. You're looking at other clubs that maybe are up there. But teams in that middle bracket, I'd move away from those players in those areas. And then, obviously, someone like Southampton, they're up against Newcastle this week. There's something that's massive for you in the coming week. But it's just those sides now that will just start to drip away. We touched on Brighton there. I think they're one. The momentum's gone. The FA Cup went, you know, in really unfortunate circumstances. So it's tough on that side.
Have they not still got European football to play for, though, Rob? And it feels like this season there's so many more teams than there usually is at this point of a campaign who still have something to play for, because this season hasn't been as much of a mid-table, so to speak.
I think there's more to play for teams to avoid relegation. Well, yeah, yes, there is. If you said, you know, we can put a run together of for the last four or five games, whatever it might be, and we can just nick a European spot, maybe. You know, it just doesn't.
Yeah.
We had it at West Ham where Lucas Neal, our captain, we had something like eight games left, where we were in, I think, eighth or ninth, and we had been since November. Our position hadn't moved all season. And he went, guys, if we win sort of five of the next eight, then we will nick a European spot, or, you know, and it'll be the most successful season since 1995, or that sort of thing. And you put together this presentation, everyone, yeah, brilliant, absolutely, let's go for it. The bonuses are there and everything. We didn't win one game. We drew seven out of the eight or something like that. You know, it's just that sort of mentality. You just cannot get away from it. It's like, objective is, especially someone like, you get the objective, it's there, it's done, right. There's just a communal, huge sigh of relief.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. It's quite interesting to hear that psychological side from a player's point of view, because it's probably something we don't think about as much. So bear that in mind when you're making your transfers for this week. Well, of course, 34 is also a big double game week. Six teams play twice. Those teams, in case you've forgotten, Brighton, Manchester City, Manchester United, Liverpool, Fulham, and West Ham. We spoke about some of these teams on Monday when we were planning our transfers for game week 33, but maybe given what we've seen in midweek, our opinions might have changed. Jules, when you're looking at who you're going to bring in transfer wise, who is top of your list, would you say, from those teams that double?
I still think that Brighton, I mean, I know I agree with everything Rob just said.
And going against
we've explained the strike. No, not against. I still think that when they play twice at home in this double game week, so they've got Wolves first and then, okay, United is a tough game, but it's also kind of a revenge from that FA Cup semi-final that they lost on pens against them. So I still think that it's worth at least investing for this one. And you can go for three Brighton prize. I think that might be too much. You can go two. The next double game week, which will be in game week 36, is Arsenal away and Newcastle away. So maybe before that you think, okay, maybe three for that is a bit, for those two games is a bit too much. But for Wolves and United, I still think you can go for one of your midfielders. And we mentioned Mitoma, Marsh, McAllister. You can go for Estupinan, Dunk, one of the defenders. You can go for Steele, the goalkeeper, of course. I still think that Brighton, for this double game week coming, could still be very interesting to at least to double up. I would not go three, but I would go two Brighton players still.
Sam, where are you at with Brighton? Obviously, you've said it's disappointing, but who now are the three best? I didn't go for Steele on my wild card, despite him being cheap, because I was a little bit worried about Robert Sanchez's performance. Then obviously he saved a penalty. They've got two brilliant goalkeepers at Brighton, it feels like, at the moment. I went for Estupiñán and then the double up in midfield. Is that still the best way? By the way, I also brought in March and put him on my bench and he got 5 points.
Yeah, it's difficult because, as I said last week on the pod, I've got McAllister, who we yet again saw playing in that kind of deeper role because Francisco is there. And it's a frustration, I think, now, because you know that with McAllister, you've got the penalty responsibility. So he could get attacking returns there. But because he's now sitting deeper, he's less likely to get them from open play. And that makes him a difficult own. I think March, Mitoma, Estupiñán is probably still the three I would go for. But if you are wildcarding into this one, now that we seem to have had an answer on the goalkeeper situation, then I think you could go with Steele, maybe Estupiñán and March or Mitoma. But the problem is Brighton just stopped keeping clean sheets. So do you really want the defensive double up, particularly when you could maybe get a double up from Manchester United or from Liverpool by getting, you know, Trent and Robertson instead? With it doesn't feel like the time to double up defensively on Brighton. So I think if you do want three, I still favour the attacking double up.
Rob, what have you made of the goalkeeper situation at Brighton as well? Because Jason Steele, when he was brought in, came as a real shock because Robert Sanchez had been number one for so long. Sanchez performed well in the FA Cup semi-final last week, but then Steele comes in and saves a penalty.
Yeah, and it's been a little of a strange scenario. I'm not sure what's gone on, but there's all of a sudden it was a viewpoint that in training he trained well, and that was it. And you're just thinking, okay, I don't think that is a true answer. I think it was just a bit of a wake up call for Robert Sanchez to say, okay, you're not undroppable, because you do get that dip, you do get that sort of level of. Maybe complacency comes in and you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But I think now, you know, he's obviously come back in and played well at times. But it's, I think for that, I think for him, he's been, I think they based theirs previously. They based it on such a consistency at the back. They've done so well there and obviously been firing above their level so much. Whether I put him in the team, I don't know. You're looking at but the teams with a double week game, they won't be top of my list.
Okay, moving on to Manchester City then. My regret on my wild card from watching that game on Wednesday night was not having that man that Jules mentioned, Sam, Kevin De Bruyne. Is he going to be top of a lot of people's wish lists this week now?
Yeah, and I think for the last few weeks, I think we have kind of overlooked KDB because everybody's been kind of hokey-coking around with Haaland in, Haaland out based on the blank game week and that kind of thing. So the focus has been on him. And then there's been a big focus on Mo Salah and whether you need him in your team. And of course, if you're trying to fit, as you know, Kelly, from just wildcarding, if you're trying to fit Haaland and Salah and maybe trying also to keep Kane, it makes KDB a bit of a non-asset, not because you wouldn't want him, but just because you can't afford to have him as well. And we had the opportunity and the option of players like Jack Grealish, who were performing really well at the same time. So you could go in with a cheaper Manchester City option alongside those guys. But when you look at the last four games that KDB has played, he's got 13, 9, 8 and 19 points. So the form has been there in the last four game weeks that he's been part of. So I think we have slept on him a little bit. I think he's still going to be slept on because he's going to be difficult for FPL managers to buy going into this week. If you can afford him, he will be a nice opportunity for you to extend mini league leads or improve your overall rank.
Will he play every game?
Well, that is the problem.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Particularly with the Champions League coming back, that's an issue, right? So we do have that. And he's flagged in the game at the minute with a muscle injury. So it is a risk.
You're looking at three games this week where you'd say City, they could play any number of formations with any number of players and be heavy favourites to win those games, aren't they? And then you've got Real Madrid looming as the fourth game in 10 days. That's a big ask for anybody on a physical level. I just wonder whether he'll play. I think maybe, you know, you're looking at someone like Riyad Mahrez or Phil Foden to come in as a different option to say, look, he's going to play, he's going to be choices. Mahrez has scored goals and these guys are scoring goals. So it's maybe it's a wild card, someone from outside of the Manchester City mainstay of De Bruyne and Haaland.
Jules, are you still happy with Grealish? You finally got him in your team. Only 1 point this week. Is he still a good option, or are you a little bit worried with the fact that Foden's coming back, the fact that Mahrez is obviously playing again? And also, he wasn't really in the game as much. I thought Arsenal dealt with him pretty well on Wednesday.
Yeah, I just think that the tactical plan from Guardiola didn't really involve playing wide, and either to Bernardo on one side or to Grealish on the other side. There was no overlap from the fullbacks either, because that was not what they wanted. They wanted to play very much central with Gundogan, De Bruyne and Haaland, and that worked really, really well. What was funny is that at some point he had 3 points, of course, because they hadn't conceded. And he had the 2 points for playing. Then they considered a goal. So it went down straight to two. I was like, okay, just don't pick up a yellow card, please. Now just don't do anything stupid. And obviously he goes and picks up a yellow card. I still think that he's in great form. And Pep Roulette, of course, I think, and the rotation will happen. Rob is right. I just think that Grealish maybe, because in some games, and you could think Fulham away, for example, where it would be a very different game to the Arsenal at home. They will need him maybe, and maybe Mahrez on the other side, because it will be tight spaces, because they will have a lot of the ball and playing not much space into the Fulham half. So I think that for some of the games coming up, he will be safe. And also, lastly, on City, this is the time that, because Arsenal only play on Tuesday, you win this weekend, you go top. And again, the mindset and the dynamic will change now, because you will have those games in hand, and by the end you've played this double game week, because you're 2 points behind Arsenal, even if they beat Chelsea, you win your two games in hand, now you're top again, and you're top on your own, and that changes everything with still a game in hand. So I think that Pep can think about maybe the Real Madrid game between the Leeds and the next one is Everton, and then maybe then you rotate for Leeds and for Everton because you'll have Real Madrid in between. But I think the Fulham and the West Ham game are so crucial, because this is your chance. This is your big opportunity to go top of the table again on your own now. We still have a game in hand. And really, I think, I mean, from an Arsenal point of view, like knocking them out again, basically.
Mm. And the other thing with Grealish, of course, George, is that he can easily come off the bench and get something, because you put Grealish on against tired defenders, and with his speed and his pace and the way that he controls the ball in the game, he can pick something up easily from off the bench. So I'm never too worried with somebody like Grealish at his price point if he gets benched. I would be really annoyed by KDB if I'd spent that level of my budget. But with Grealish, he's cheaper. If he's benched, it's not the end of the world, because I'd still back him to get at least half an hour in that second game, even if he doesn't play all of it. And in half an hour, as we've seen earlier on in this season, Grealish can be he can be potent.
What about the Man City defence? Because Jules, you mentioned that they're then losing Grealish's points. Not only did I lose Grealish's points, I also brought Edison wild card. And I was so angry. You know, when you're watching a game and you're like, why do you need to score now, Arsenal? You're not getting back into it. You've not looked like getting back into it. Why are you just wiping out my clean sheet just for the fun of it? Obviously, I know that's not how football works. But Sam, it's not a clean sheet. Do you back City to keep clean sheets, particularly in this double?
It's so annoying. Edison, every week he feels like he concedes one goal. And I'm there going, my goodness, like, where's my 6 points gone? Yeah. And I was really frustrated with this one. And at least if you're going to concede to Saka, who I'm playing as well, so I get the points back.
Oh, no, see, I was relieved. Like, I got rid of all my Arsenal attack, so I was relieved it was someone not highly owned.
I think going into the Fulham game, like Rob said, I'm expecting Fulham to continue to be on the beach, for want of a better phrase. They are in that kind of mid-table moment. They're not getting relegated. They're not making European football. They don't have Mitrovic. They're not scoring as many goals at the moment. So I would hope for a clean sheet from Edison in that one. The second game is more difficult in terms of clean sheets, but West Ham are starting to find some form. And as Rob said earlier, they need another win to give themselves the security of knowing they're staying up. So whilst they're scoring a little bit more freely at the moment, that also means they're having more shots. That might potentially mean some save points for Edison. So I would be looking at Edison getting at least a clean sheet and some save points in the second game. So I'm relatively happy to hold him. It's a little bit frustrating when you then see John Stones pop up with a goal, because you think even when the clean sheet's gone for the defence, he's picked up an attack in return, which you don't really get from Edison. Maybe we might get that Edison penalty at some point, which would be quite nice, wouldn't it?
We've been talking about that for ages.
Yeah, you've been dreaming about it.
I'm bringing up Man City, Brighton, and I'm now going to talk about Manchester United first, because they have doubles beyond just this game week as well. So it feels like they're going to be the main targets of managers. A reminder, Brighton double in 36 and 37, Man City and Man United in 37 as well. So their players have got a little bit more appeal. Sam, you did watch Manchester United firsthand last night. Game of two halves, I think. But one thing we continue to see, Marcus Rashford, still exactly who we need for this double game week. Anyone else?
Rashford was outstanding throughout the whole game. Every time the ball came anywhere near him, I was like, hiding in the south stand, hoping for the best. But I think when I watch the rest of the Man United team, defensively, they look vulnerable at the moment because they are missing so many of their key defenders that they don't look secure of clean sheets. De Gea, he was quite good actually, much better than I thought he was in some of the other games I've watched him, but he isn't being protected as much as he usually is by the defenders in front of him, you know, when you've got players like Varane there usually. Luke Shaw's becoming less attractive to me because he's still playing him in that kind of centre-back position, and therefore the chances of attacking returns alongside the defensive ones don't look as strong. So I'm not overly keen on the defence. And then the problem I think you have is that in the midfield, our spots are so valuable, and we've just spent time talking about the Brighton midfielders and the City midfielders, and we're going to come to Liverpool in a bit. There's some midfielders you might want there too. It's hard to then get another midfielder in alongside Rashford from Man United. And then you look up top and you kind of go, well, there's Martial and Weghorst, but they're not guaranteed to start. They're not guaranteed to, you know, get any returns. So for me, it feels like you want Rashford for sure, and maybe you look up, it's probably got to be a defender, but I don't really fancy the clean sheets.
They're shattered. They're absolutely shattered as a team. They're beat, and I was in Seville for the game, and they just didn't throw a punch. And they brought Rashford on, and all of a sudden, you just, like you say, Sam, the crowd changed a little bit when he gets the ball. He's had a rest. He's been injured, so he's had a couple of weeks, few weeks off. He's got a gear above everybody else in the side. Beyond that, you're kind of looking at it going, and on a points basis, you can't look at it and say there's a surefire 5-6 points or any from anybody, because you're not quite sure what they're going to give. Yeah, I just think that they're just clinging on in games. Maybe Bruno Fernandes at points, you'd say they just rely on him so heavily that he's got to provide something. But beyond that, they're playing who they've got, and that's all they've got right now. So if you want a guaranteed sort of banking someone to play, then pick a United player, but they cost so much that it's not really not worth.
Yeah, and Bruno Fernandes falls into that category, doesn't he, Jules? Because when he's fit, even if he's not fully fit, I was there at the FA Cup semi-final on Sunday, sitting very close to him and saw him get up when they went to extra time, get up when they went to penalties, and he was limping and had ice strapped around his leg. You may have also seen there was some Instagram photos shared from his family that looked like he was injured. But alas, he's there. He's in the starting 11 again for Manchester United. So he will play. But do you also buy into this theory that maybe he is a little bit tired and maybe the form of Manchester United in general being tired affects his appeal to us?
Yeah, maybe. Although he almost scored one of the goals of the season, really. And probably should have scored that goal. I'm still not really sure from such close range how he hit the bar and not the back of the net. But that's another issue. I agree with Rob on the on the physical side of things. And also, as soon as Christian Eriksen comes off, you could see that he's not as fluid.
Agreed.
And he can't play the whole 90 minute either. So I think Casemiro suffers from it. Bruno suffers from it. Antony is still a mystery to me. So I would keep Rashford. I would go for Rashford or keep him if he's the only one that you have. Maybe if you have Luke Shaw and you want to keep him just for a little bit longer and see at least for this double game week. But apart from them too, I would not go into any other United assets.
Okay, let's talk about the other teams then that do have a double this week but don't have any doubles beyond this week. So those teams are Liverpool, Fulham and West Ham. Sam, I know there's a lot of talk about Liverpool at the moment. Who should managers be targeting?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about Liverpool in my house as well at the moment as they're creeping up on Spurs suddenly. So I think the defenders make a lot of sense. You know, in the last couple of weeks, although their clean sheets haven't been sticking, they have been getting attacking returns from Trent Alexander-Arnold and from Andy Robertson on the other side. Now, I still think that Trent is the better option because of the role that he's now playing in that Liverpool team. He's much further forward than Robertson is. Robertson, if he gets space, will go, but Trent is going every time he has the opportunity. So I think you have him. I think if you can afford to have Mo Salah, if you're wildcarding, if you have the budget to take one of your midfielders up to him, then you go for him because he has a fantastic record at home against Spurs. He averages 7.2 points per match against us, as Lee reminds me regularly. And he's got a fantastic record against Fulham, who's the other team that they play. He averages 5 points per match against them. You know, if he hits average, then you're talking about sort of 12, 13 points out of Salah for this double game week, which could be a really nice return. And he's still not as heavily owned as we would normally expect from him. However, if you can't afford to get to Salah, then I do think you have an option in Gakpo if you want to go for another midfielder. He is the most consistently starting of the Liverpool midfield outside of Mo Salah. Obviously gets the goal in game week 34. So will be on FPL managers' radars. Don't think Luis Diaz is available to come in earlier at the moment. He's easing him back in, which seems sensible. And then Jota will be one that's up for discussion amongst the FPL community because he gets up before 60 minutes with no return. And that will hurt the managers that have invested in him. I think if you have Jota, you hold him. I think if you can afford to go from Watkins to Jota, then that's possibly a good option. But you do have a bit of a risk of rotation there with him.
Okay, so Mo Salah feels like the most dead cert. Mo Salah plus maybe a defender. Is that where you're at as well with Liverpool, Jules?
Yeah, I mean, I've got Trent. We mentioned that. I've got Curtis Jones because, you know,
I forgot you had Curtis Jones.
I didn't have much money at the time and I wanted another Liverpool player. but he would be in my team because I still think that it was not perfect against West Ham. Far from it. I think they were lucky to get a win even. But you could feel still that with the ball, sometimes the mojo is back, and I think Thiago Alcantara is not ready to start. So I can see Curtis Jones at least getting the two starts in this double game week. After that, I'm not so sure. So, but yeah, I think Sam makes a lot of sense. It's still difficult. At some point, Klopp will make maybe a few tweaks there and there, so Darwin could get a start. Luis Diaz eventually would get a start for sure. So at least with Robertson, with Trent, with Van Dijk, even if you want to, for set pieces. With Salah, you're sure that they're going to play. They're going to play the whole game. And it's probably the biggest insurance you have if you want to invest in Liverpool.
Come on then, Rob. Talk to me about West Ham, because they've found some form at just the right time, your former club, both in Europe and in the league. Is there anyone we should be looking at there?
Well, I was looking at it thinking, well, obviously, Declan Rice is popping up with goals now. And Soucek is sort of having a little surge up. I think his energy levels dropped for quite a few months, but now he's back. He's enjoying the role he's in. He's had an assist or two. I was also thinking they're in a really difficult spot because they have obviously the semi-finals in Europe, but also you've got some huge opposition in there in the likes of Manchester City and Manchester United. But then playing Palace and playing Leeds and playing, I think it's Leicester as well, around there as well. Fabianski would be a good choice because he doesn't play in Europe. So he's rested for those games. And I'm thinking that actually, you know, scored goals, but off the back of it, kept clean sheets. So I was thinking that might be one choice. But if you're going up against Manchester City in the week on a double week, it's never a good point to select a goalkeeper who's going to do that. So, you know, I'd be looking at those guys. I think they've got their big players like Antonio and that backfiring, and the big guys are back. The big guys are sort of performing again. So that's the spine of the team in there that you'd be looking at.
Yeah, Sam, a few people might be looking at Jarrod Bowen again, mightn't they, as well?
Yeah, I love the Jarrod Bowen pick. He is the highest scoring West Ham FPL asset so far this season and finding form at the right moment. So I think he's a nice option. I also totally agree with what Rob was just saying about Antonio. He's finding form at the right time as well for us. And yes, it's a difficult double game week because Manchester City are in there. But Manchester City, as you and I know with our Edison picks, Kelly, just aren't always keeping the clean sheet. So there isn't any reason why West Ham couldn't score in that game. I don't think they'll win the game, but there's no reason they couldn't get a goal out of the game. And if they do, then Bowen, Antonio, Declan Rice, who's lovely and cheap, a great enabler for us as FPL managers, could be options. And the other thing with Fabianski, Rob, is that, of course, against a team like Man City, you know they're having a million shots, so there's going to be some save point potential there. Yeah. So if he clean sheets against Crystal Palace, then he's got the 6 points going into the game against Man City. And then any save point he can pick up across that week is a nice option. So it could work because moving forward, there's some nice fixtures in there. And if they still need those points to stay up and be certain of staying up, then there's a bit of fight out of the Hammers too. So I think West Ham could be lovely differentials. You know, when you look at them in terms of percentage owned, and that's the other thing that I like to do heading into a double game week is look at the percentages. Bowen is the most heavily owned asset at 3.6%. So every single West Ham player you would want to invest in or could invest in is a differential and will give you a green arrow if they do anything.
Jules, I meant to text you. Your boy scored.
The packet.
Oh, the packet.
What a goal.
And
as
what
well.
A goal it was.
Incredible,
yeah, it was
the
such
packet.
Such a good goal.
I know. It's just, I know maybe West Ham fans won't relate to it and Premier League fans in general, but he's so good. He's so talented. And it's just that this season, and we've said it before, and it's not one for now anyway, but West Ham had been looking a bit for some sort of identity. And with the packet, if you play like the goal that he scores, perfect. If you play like West Ham have done under David Moyes, and it's not a criticism of that because it worked at times, this is not Paqueta's game at all. So he is capable of those moments of absolute brilliance between now and the end of the season. There might be more, but I still feel that you could get even more from him if the team was just playing a little bit more on his qualities than they are at times in games now.
3-3 for him now, Jules.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's in great form. And you saw the celebration showed that he knew what a special goal it was. And in a game like this, when you're at home against Liverpool, this is the kind of stuff that players like him like, of course, those big moments, big games. And to score a goal like this was just fantastic.
Rob, I'm looking at your team now and I'm a bit concerned. You said that you've been a bit disillusioned recently. You're not really set up very well in terms of double game week players.
All right.
There's not many of you, so I'm worried. No, but I'm
savage.
Worried that we're going to be concerning him a little bit. I feel a bit bad.
By the fact that my captain's on the bench. It's not ideal. There, I've been looking whilst we've been talking. I've been looking at thinking, yeah, I need to address this. There's lots that I could pull out of the side. Not many ideas of who I could replace them with. So, I think a complete refurb on the team might need to happen. I think a period of transition is what they say, isn't it? That's what I need to go
yeah.
with.
Nice way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, just make sure that they don't get rid of the manager during that period of transition.
The rebuilding could be tough sometimes, you know.
If I could sack myself, I would, yeah.
Sam, there will be managers in periods of transition or maybe a little bit further along in the rebuild process who are working out what to do with their teams. How many double game week players do managers need this week? Because it's often in these weeks where you see people take bumper points hits because they get obsessed with having a full team of players that play twice.
Yeah, and you have to be really mindful of that. So obviously, if you want to treble up on Brighton because they've got so many doubles, then fine. If you want to treble up on Manchester City because, well, they're Manchester City, then absolutely fine. If you want to get, you know, a couple of Liverpool and you want to go with a couple of United, then I'm absolutely all on board with that. If you want to take a little punt on a West Ham player, fine. I don't think you really want to go with Fulham unless it's Andreas, because he can pop up with something and he's cheap. So he's going to enable you to do some stuff with the rest of the team. For me, there is then the single game weekers who, there's some great fixtures out there. Newcastle against Southampton is an absolute beauty of a fixture for us as FPL managers. You do not want to end up in the situation where you've got a bench or Newcastle assets. You've got Isak and Trippier in there. You want to be playing them against Southampton in 34. So for me, I think if you've got somewhere 8, 9, 10 double game weekers, great. But if you can only get 7, then I don't think that's the end of the world. As long as the players that you have that are single game weekers also have those great fixtures. So, you know, you're trebled up on Newcastle because they also double in 36 and you want to play all three of them against Southampton. Great.
What if you have 0 like Rob? Is this?
I think he's got three.
Oh, it's okay.
2.
Oh.
You said Andreas okay. And I was like, yes, there's one. I've got one.
Yeah. Oh, Rob.
Rob, have you got any chips? Have you got any chips to play?
I've got, I'll tell you what I've got is absolutely nothing. You're talking about a wild card, and I thought, oh, I wonder when I played that. Game week 8, I played that.
No, you've got a second
one. But there's one. Another
yeah.
one.
Oh, no.
No, that's good. This is good news.
No, it's not. It means I'm just going to make a mess of it again. So, yeah.
You can make unlimited transfers for that team. Set it up now.
Please, anything.
Just don't take advice off me because mine was a disaster.
Yeah, if you want 55 points, okay, go with Kelly's strategy.
58, thank you very much.
Looking at Rob's team, there are a number of things that you could do, particularly if you've still got that second wild card. So if you haven't played a wild card since Game Week 8, you've got another one, Rob. So you can make unlimited transfers. Swapping somebody like Chilwell for Trent Alexander-Arnold, bit of a no-brainer. Sell Son, use the money from him to get Haaland back in because not having him in the double is going to be a disaster.
Well, I know. That's quite a low bar in your team, Rob. No offence.
But also Spurs have got a hard fixture at the weekend against Liverpool and no double. So, I mean, and I'm a Spurs fan sitting here telling you to sell Son. So sell him and use that money to get Haaland back in your team. Take Havertz out for him and use the money to fix that. And then I think, you know, there's other players in there that you can get rid of. You can easily take Rodrigo and Harvey Barnes to a Brighton midfielder and Rashford because then, you know, they're coming in around the same price. So that's going to be making this team look much, much nicer. And then going into the double, you can give yourself a huge advantage over everyone else because you'll be wildcarding your team and making it better and perfect for 34. Whereas most of us are kind of going to be going, well, who can I get in? And who have I got off sacrifice to do that?
So what you're saying is Havertz bad, Haaland good. Yes. Okay. Right.
Yes.
I've got that. Yeah.
That's seriously simplifying it, but it's maybe saying that at the moment, in the respective teams they're both playing in and their respective form, Haaland's got a bit more chance of scoring, especially having two fixtures.
Step by step here, Yannick.
Yeah, and Havertz is injured too, so you know it would help not to have him in your team.
Or have him as captain.
But fortunately, you had Son as vice captain, so it worked out. Yeah. Okay, let's bring this back to managers who may be a little bit better prepared. Jules, Sam mentioned before Newcastle players, and of course, people will be heavily invested in Newcastle. They've got a nice fixture this week with Southampton at home. Any other single game week players that we need to not ignore? You briefly before mentioned the fixture that Arsenal have.
Yeah, and Chelsea at home in a game that you would, again, expect them to show some...
Do we ever at the moment?
Some reaction, certainly. I mean, I think...
Jules does.
Yeah, but I think the whole stadium will. I think Arteta will too. And between Wednesday and that defeat of City to Tuesday, Chelsea, that gives you quite a lot of time, not just to, you know, to recharge the batteries and get some mojo back in a way, but also to prepare for it. And I think this is precious time for Arteta in an end of the season where usually you don't have much time. And so this is good. We're not going to go back again on, you know, Martinelli or Saka or Odegaard or Gabriel Jesus, because I think we've gone past that. I would not, if you have one, keep it. I would not invest in another one, for example. So go and swap someone for a Martinelli or Gabriel Jesus. But I would expect them, certainly for this Chelsea game, the Newcastle away is a different story, but certainly for this Chelsea at home on Tuesday night, for them to show some reaction.
Yeah, I agree.
The thing is though, Jules, FPL managers are savage. One defeat and suddenly everybody's like, right, that's it, off my Arsenal assets. Saka's the most heavily transferred out player this week. He's had over 250,000 managers sell him so far. I think going into it in 34, I'm probably going to add to that number.
I would bench him as well.
Because most people are either going to bench him if they can. But for me, I'm looking at my squad thinking I'd really like to have a Liverpool midfielder in there, because unlike you, Jules, I don't have the luxury of having Curtis Jones.
No, you should.
So I've got to find a
lovely guy.
Got to find a Liverpool midfielder in there. So I want to go for Cody Gakpo, so because I can't afford Salah. So I'm looking at that thinking, well, Saka is the only one that I can realistically get rid of. And then what I might do is then use that Saka midfield position to be Gakpo this week. And then moving forward, he can become a Newcastle player for game week 36. And then maybe he becomes, depending upon what the form is like by the time we get to 37 and that double, he'll become either another Manchester United player, or if Chelsea have found anything, then could potentially become a Chelsea player. So I can target the doubles with that position. But it's really hard to stick with Arsenal, even with a nice fixture this week. On paper, it's a difficult fixture, but the way Chelsea are performing it should be a nice fixture that they can win. But it's going to be really tough to play your Arsenal assets. So they are, I think, ones that managers will look to sacrifice.
Okay, so lots for us to think about. I feel like we might have just sent Rob into meltdown, bearing in mind we told him to do a wild card. And
he's
then Sam started talking about weeks ahead. Rob, are you doing it?
Yeah, I was just picking the Arsenal players and then you told me not to, so you're lost, yeah.
If you want to go with an Arsenal player, I don't think that's a bad thing, because they've got to win games till the end of the season. But I'd go with Martinelli because he's cheaper probably, or maybe Saka if you really want him, but you're probably going to have to bench him this week.
Rob, we might have to continue this conversation offline. I'm sure Sam will give you plenty of help if you do want to do a wild card. Only because I'm looking at duration of this podcast and we have quite a wide listener base and we need to
hit 8 hours long.
And we need to help everyone rather than just viewers. I'm sure you can appreciate.
Thank you.
But that doesn't mean that after this, you've got my number. I can give you Sam's number. We're all here to help. Just not right during this recording. Sam, very quickly, chips. Lots of chips in play for this game week. As you would imagine, it always happens during doubles. As it stands, triple captains, almost 300,000 of them. Bench boost, over 130,000 of them. You can add me to that. I will be activating mine. Free hit, over 65,000. And wild cards, we can add one of those to this number as well with Rob. Almost 60. If you haven't used your chips yet, time's running out. Is this one of the weeks to use them?
Yes. If you have the triple captain chip, give it to Haaland. That's a bit of a no-brainer with the fixtures.
Hold on, Jules,
that he has.
Are you going to be? You've got your triple captain, haven't you?
Yeah, it's this week on Haaland, the Viking. Oh, Haaland, my boy. You know what? I think Haaland.
Step back from the microphone. Yeah. He's got so excited.
So excited.
He screamed at his microphone.
I think he's listening. Don't tie your hair up. Don't do the buns. Just keep the hair like flowing the whole game, because clearly that was that was why you scored against Arsenal at the end, because your hair was all crazy and out there in the air. So I would love him to play the whole game like that, and I'm sure he would get me loads of points as triple captain.
Rob's face when you said that was a picture. Rob was
like,
with
yeah,
me, what? It was Portugal, wasn't it? I can't remember the name of the goalkeeper who took his gloves off to save the penalty at the end in the Euros against England. It was like that, just going back to your childhood roots, wasn't it? I'm just going to play like a kid again. And it suits him. I think there's also, you don't want to get too close to him either if his hair's flowing around. Mm. Get it caught in your eye, you're all in all sorts of bother.
Yeah, not very practical, is it?
No. You two are going to have a chip battle then this week. Who's going to come out on top between Kelly's bench boost and Jules's?
Oh, I'm not getting
triple
involved
against
because I'll lose. It always happens.
Interesting. No, I think if you've got the triple captain, it's the week for that. If you've got your bench boost and not the triple captain, then you bench boost. If you've got both, hold the bench boost for 37 and triple captain now.
I'm mainly bench boosting because I set up for a wild card and we talked about Newcastle before. I'd have to leave Isak and Trippier on the bench.
You don't want that.
And I'm going to change Watkins potentially to Jota or to another double game week player. So I'd have 12 double game week players plus a couple of Newcastle players and a goalkeeper that's only got one fixture. But that for me feels, I don't want to miss out on the Newcastle points at home to Southampton.
I mean, your free hit was a disaster. Your wild card was pretty much a disaster. At least I'm hoping for you that the bench
wild
boost
card is not for 1 week.
The bench boost somehow works in your favour. I mean, otherwise retire. Or you get the sack like Rob. I think this week you and Rob could just lose your job.
Savage, Jules. Her triple captain was genius.
Exclusive. My bench boost goes badly. Next week, Julian and Ron will be the new host of this podcast.
I can't do a job as good as yours. I'm just saying that surely the bench boost, you can't have those three chips in a row.
It can't go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. Anyway, let's just finish on captaincy because we do know that Jules is going to be using his triple captaincy on Haaland. Actually, Jules, what transfers are you going to make?
So, you know, I said at the end of the last show, if you remember on Monday, that I really liked Joel Linton and that he was on great form. And the more I was watching yesterday, I came back from a show on the BBC to watch the whole Spurs United game, trying to see Sam in the stands. And then I watched Newcastle the whole game again. And I just love Joel Linton. And I think he's a player that is going to keep scoring points for us until the end of the season. I just also need to bring Rashford back to the, you know, to the family. So I think this week it will be Rashford coming back and still watch Joel Linton on TV scoring a lot of points and be gutted.
It has to be Rashford this week. You can't really go into this game week without Rashford, it feels like. Okay, so Jules is doing Rashford in, triple captain Haaland. Right. Hate to say it, but I very much like both of those moves. Sam, what are you doing?
I've got two free transfers this week because I rolled into 34. So I think I'm going to do Saka to Gakpo as one of them. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a decision to make about what I do next. Because the issue partly I have is that I've got to bench Watkins this week. So if I sub him out for Isak now, which is the move I want to make, I'm going to struggle to play Isak because that means I've got to bench Harry Kane. And we all know how I feel about that. And he has got an amazing record away at Liverpool. So I don't really want to bench Kane. So I think what I might do is just hold the second transfer and then have two going into game week 35.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Rob, I'm not going to ask you what you're going to do because I feel like we need another podcast potentially.
I can name my 11.
Can you?
Okay, go on.
Yep.
No, please tell me you've made some changes.
Go on.
So I've gone for Alisson in goal, which I think... They have clean sheets in waves. And I think this week they'll have a wave of a couple of clean sheets. Agard, who's been in good form. Matip and Akanji. Joel Linton. Julian's Ram. Trossard. Foden. Yep. Bowen. And then Andreas from Fulham. And then Haaland as captain. And of course, never drop Harry Kane.
Do you know what? That is a team of differentials with doubles, isn't it?
Yeah, that's actually quite nice.
That's what I've gone
for. Yeah, that's a fun experimental 11.
Well, that's where we are. We're in transition. Experiment, yeah.
Yeah, nothing to lose. You're not going up, you're not going down this season.
You've booked your holidays already, exactly.
You've got to give those players a chance. I just hope the owners give the manager a chance as well because it's been a tough season for you. Rob, thank you so much for coming on. The best of luck with the wild card. I hope it goes a little bit better for you.
Thank you very much, guys. Cheers.
Sam and Jules, thank you as always. There's been three helpings of us because there's been three deadlines over the past week. So we hope you're not bored of us. Don't worry, you've got a bit of respite from us because Off the Bench will be back on Tuesday. And then we'll be back at our usual time next Thursday. Don't forget the deadline, 11 a.m. on Saturday. Best of luck. Bye-bye.